All right. Let's cut that. because this is still the Red Pill Hardcore. We're extending this to 2 hours because, well, we have such a wonderful guest. And I would like to add other people into the call. I know we have Melvin Punch. Let's see how his sound is today. How you doing, Melvin?
Yes, good evening, everyone.
And then we also have Theo Booker, who's going to be joining us.
Hey, can you hear me today?
Oh, yeah, I'm starting to hear you. You're fading in and out.
Okay.
One, two. All right. Well, let's move on with the show here. Yes. Whoever wants to start off, I don't know if our guest wants to continue. I don't really like breaks. I really don't like to interrupt people. People's stories are so fascinating and they're so important, but, you know, we have to do what we have to do. But please go ahead.
Yes, well, I wanted to encourage our guest on her efforts to try to change the landscape in Australia with the vaccinations, the mandatory vaccinations that are currently in place in that country. And the fact that the citizens there will lose certain governmental benefits if they're not vaccinated, that just completely astounded me. Usually, like you was previously stated, it seems like they're trying to do a test type scenario in Australia to try to maybe push that sort of agenda worldwide. It seems like Big Pharma is fully entrenched in every developed country in the world, and also in the third world countries. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, we have the first world countries and the third world countries, but what is the second world? Is there a second world? I don't know. But I wanted to ask our guest, is Solana? Is that,
Alana,
is that your first name? Yes. So when I was listening to the previous broadcast, when you stated that you refused to have your daughter vaccinated at birth, did that initiate any sort of contact with your country's child protective services? Here in America, if parents do not go along with the prescribed agenda of their medical professionals, if a doctor prescribed a certain sort of treatment, whether you're a naturalist or for religious beliefs, you prescribe to a certain regimen of treatment. Did Child Protective Services become involved in your personal life as a result of your denial of your daughter being vaccinated?
No. Here in Australia, it probably hasn't got to that point as badly as some other countries. But definitely there is a threat of that, and I have heard of some people actually their children, but it's normally due to other issues or it's a compounded issue if the child does get taken for some reason. But there is threat of child protective services by some midwives and by some doctors to people to coerce and intimidate, people to actually inject their children. So there is a threat of that. We haven't seen a lot of that here in Australia, and I'm going to say yet, because we can see where it's heading. But what's also happening here in Australia is this free birthing community, and I've spoken to different politicians about this, is, essentially they're putting people's lives at risk because, yes, there is going to be more birthing naturally and at home, which is not a bad thing, and that keeps medical intervention away. People are just avoiding that whole system because it's dangerous. And even presenting to the emergency department here in Australia, the first question they ask is, are you vaccinated? Are you up to date with your vaccine? I mean, what's that got to do with a broken arm? Or what's that got to do with a big splinter in your finger? Nothing. But these are the tactics that they're using. And so I know in my network, people are scared to go to doctors. They're scared to have babies in hospitals. Like, is a real fearful, there's a lot of fear here in Australia, unfortunately.
That's a terrible environment, and but it persists. It's a worldwide phenomenon. You know, it's been known since the 1950s. Scientists and medical professionals, they no longer attempt to cure diseases. Like in the 50s, you know, they were looking for cure. They found a cure for polio, and you know, there's all sorts of things for cancer and AIDS. But it seems like Big Pharma has their hands in a lot of pies, and they seem to feel that it's no longer profitable to cure a disease. They want to just keep people alive longer so that they can sell them drugs. And what kind of system have we allowed to take so much control over our individual lives and have so much power over us that, you know, they can pretty much dictate politics and policies and what we can and we cannot do? Well, we've been speaking about this on this show for quite some time now. But, you know, you mentioned in the previous broadcast about the $4 billion fund in America here that's been paid out to victims who have been vaccine damaged. But it's a well-known fact that the, you know, Big Pharma receives hundreds of billions of dollars in profits every year. So that $4 billion is a pittance to them. That's just the cost of doing business as far as they're concerned.
If I can interject here, I have a question for Ilona. If elected to the parliament in Australia, what bill would you introduce first to try to effect change?
Good point and good question. And to be honest, there are so many issues that need to be addressed. I don't know. And I have heard that once you're in politics, you can only ask questions and you can only address certain things at certain times. So I guess it's going to depend what's being raised and what's being implemented as to how and when I'm going to have a voice. For me, I think I just want to stop more rules and regulations happening. I think that we just have to put a halt to what is currently happening with the erosion of our rights and then work backwards from there, because there's so many issues. And I did speak to a politician that was on side, and he actually put his head in his hands and shook his head, and he said, it's a mess, it's a mess. And so, you know, the problem that we've got is there's just layer upon layer of issues. And also being in state politics, therefore I will only be able to address certain issues. And so there's even going to be restrictions on that. But I can talk outside of that in my own time, you know what I mean? And put pressure on the other politicians to raise issues and to speak out and hopefully plant seeds.
Basically,
yeah,
it's in the UK, you have to have a new order of business before you can discuss it. You have to put it on the docket. But I was speaking hypothetically, like, let's say you were on the docket and you can raise an issue. Which one would you go first? Because there's so many things. I know it's a hard question to answer, but it's something other people are going to want to know.
Yeah, look, and what's first and foremost over here in Australia, I guess, is the Biosecurity Act. And just the removal or the look at that, and the fact that people are being locked in their homes at the moment to do with COVID. And then you've got the issue of our constitution, even whether that's legal and whether we've got a treasonous government. You've also got the issue worldwide of pedophilia and child trafficking and sex trafficking. You know, so there's some really big issues. And for me personally, it's that mandatory vaccination. And I think with COVID-19, that's looming. Like, the world... the governments around the world are spending billions of dollars on a COVID-19 vaccine. They will want to inject everyone around the world. So I would probably have to say the looming mandatory vaccination would be something I would jump in full force, because we need to protect people's health, you know, and without health, you don't have a life. So, you know, we need to stop that mandatory COVID-19 vaccine, and it's going to be fast-tracked, it's going to be flawed, it's not going to be tested properly. I mean, you know, that whole vaccine is just going to be a farce.
Yeah, I was reading yesterday that the WHO has actually said now that the COVID-19 is airborne, in that even us wearing a mask that we wear to protect other people will be ineffective for that if it's airborne. So the whole scheme and scam and excuse doublespeak that we're getting fed is so contradictory day to day, even. I don't see how any viable vaccine, especially for RNA virus, which replicates different in every person, not a DNA-based virus, I don't see how you can have a vaccine for an RNA-based pathogen. I just don't. Scandalous what's going on along. Scandalous.
I mean, the whole issue with the vaccine, it's just a farce. Even COVID-19 itself is just a farce. You know, 80% of people don't even have any signs or symptoms, don't even get sick. You know, and it's a very small minority that that do get extremely sick. And then there's questions surrounding whether they die from COVID-19 or whether they die of it. You know, and then they're going to force this vaccine down everyone's throat. So,
I just want to let a caller get in here real quick. Let's go ahead and do line one from New York. Go ahead.
Yes, I think the reason why none of this corporate behavior ever changes is the point that you made a few minutes ago. When these people, let's say they create a product that kills somebody, they're allowed to buy their way out of it. The corporate heads in these countries, and they're getting worse and worse, they have no skin in the game. And until they do, they'll never change their behavior.
Absolutely. And this is the problem, that we've allowed them to get so big and so to fight against these big corporations that then lobby our politicians and promise them jobs at the end of their political careers. I mean, all of that happens, and that's all very real, and that is what we're up against. And, you know, but again, you know, the people need to awaken and take some responsibility in that, because they've allowed this to happen, you know, and not enough people are out there speaking. There's not enough protests. There's just not enough noise, you know.
There actually is a great deal of noise. The problem is that the politicians you elect, once they get into office, they turn against the people that elect them, and then they have the court will not give you a remedy. What do you do? You're being boxed in. I think what happens eventually is it turns to violence.
And I think this is possibly where we're heading. Here in Australia, I mean, my thing is people need to start voting small parties and independents rather than the two main parties, because the two main parties have party policies which their MPs, members of the parliament, have to follow. And so we need to change that. But if we vote in independents and small parties, you can then actively lobby them. They will have to speak to you. Do you know what I mean? They're smaller, so they don't have the lobbying by big corporations, and they're not corrupt. They don't have to follow party lines.
I'm curious about something. Do you have does your law have the concept of pro se litigation, where a single person, assuming that they understand how the system works, they can go into court without an attorney? Because the attorneys, it seems like, from what I've been hearing lately, the attorneys over here don't want to prosecute any of these cases, or rather commence litigation against any of these cases.
Yeah, and again, that's another big problem. Yes, people are setting up themselves, but of course, unless you're doing it in the right way, then it's not successful. Here in Australia,
you do have to know what you're doing.
Yeah. Over here in Australia, there's a really big movement that has come to the forefront, and I'm not really called what you would call it, but I call them the sovereigns or the common law people. And essentially they're exposing the fact that Australia is a corporation and that our birth certificates are sold at birth. And they're working with, you know, equity law or common law, you know, laws of nature and that sort of thing. And a lot of those people are getting some good results, you know, to stop different things happening. We've just got to do that on a mass scale, though, you know. And just recently we have had a number of barristers. I actually had a meeting last night with a barrister, and there are different legal people now stepping up because they're looking at the injustice and the crimes against humanity and the slippery slope to, I think, hell that we're on. And so there are more people speaking out, which is awesome.
The next time you're denied a service, are you paying for your services? You might tell the politician sometime, well, if I'm being denied a benefit, then I guess I don't have to pay for it anymore.
And some people have done that. Yeah. Some people have worked the system and managed to get around that. But obviously we need to do that on mass scale, you know, just to really make pressure on.
Everybody down tools. In other words, just stop feeding the monster and it will start to adapt. Kind of how I see it. I also want to point out, you know, when you go in a hospital, you never see a curing ward, do you? You always see treatment wards because there is no money in curing.
Yeah.
Not a continually perpetuating a customer for big pharma to milk, if you will, like a cash cow. So, this is, and even the villainizing of the holistic doctors, sometimes using the National Cancer Act of 1937 or 1939, depending upon, there's different years of this act that was adopted by many governments around the world, that basically only people that could research and say they can cure cancers was had to be assigned by the government itself. Like the CDC, they gave the power to do this, or this institute gets the power, or John Hopkins has the power to do this research. But independent people, I'm not going to name any names, that do alternative things. If they find a cure for the fungus known as cancer, you know, I just went there, then they either get killed or lose their licenses or run into other difficulties. You know, the amount of suicides from holistic cure healers around this planet is another terrible business practice of big pharma. I see. I had to go there because it's been bothering.
Either that or catch the next stagecoach from Mexico. It does seem that even though they're a failed state for the most part, nobody seems to have any control down there, and I suspect that the pharmaceutical companies don't either, because many of these people that you mentioned, there's some famous ones, too, have just relocated on the other side of the border. Although I don't know if it's safe for, you know, to take a trip down there to get treated anymore.
Might get stuck behind a wall.
Here in Australia...
Hey, that's truth right there.
Actually, on that note, the founder of the Informed Medical Options Party, Michael O'Neill, his wife is Barbara O'Neill. And she's world-renowned. She does talks and practices around the world, including some celebs. Anyway, she spoke out saying that she could cure cancer, and so she's just been deregistered here in Australia. And they have this beautiful health retreat, so they've currently been under investigation and all sorts of nasty things. And this, you know, again, that's just control and monopoly. The pharmaceutical industries, they don't want people to be healthy. There is no money in healthy people. So, you know, the sooner people realize that, the sooner we can move on, can't we, and have a healthy society.
Alona, I have a question, though, about your previous statements. When you said that the certain vaccines can exacerbate certain genetic predispositions in individuals, and you stated that you cured yourself holistically, how long did it take for you to you know, recover from the ailments that you receive from the vaccine? And were any of the natural remedies that you were, you know, following, were any of that derived from the Aborigine people there?
No, nothing derived from the Aboriginal people, but I have heard that because the Aboriginal children are forced vaccinated and the elders sit around a fire with charcoal and tobacco and they chew it, and when the children come back vaccinated, they put that on their arm to draw out the vaccine. And
no kidding.
Yeah, wow. So, but apart from actual treatments, what, like for me, no. I was probably lucky second time round, like, you know, first with the hepatitis B vaccine. To be honest, I was young. I didn't probably really know as much, whereas the second time round when I got really sick, I already knew, you know, what to do, and because I'd had the past experience. So I did fast-track the healing second time round. But, yeah, I was really lucky. I come across some really great stuff. And for anyone out there that's got eczema, you know, bicarb soda is the bomb. I was literally covered and I'd bathe daily for about half an hour. And I'd just sit there because my skin was on fire. I thought I was going nuts. It was falling off me. It was red raw. You know, you couldn't move your arm because it would crack and all sorts of really revolting stuff. And bicarb soda softens the skin. It soothes. It takes away the inflammation and the redness. And it was just like magic. But for anybody out there with eczema, I would just highly recommend a pharmaceutical grade bicarb soda. And then I was lucky enough to come across a scientist who, funnily enough, had actually created the mad cow vaccine here in Australia. And he was no longer a part of that system, and he had discovered a natural product, and that was basically turmeric, galang, and turmeric.
You have got the final bit of advice if you're going to continue the show with us. There's too much feedback, my brother.
I'm taking the volume down.
To another device, all right?
Certainly.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
I'll call you the show, Melvin, and I'll call Melvin after the show and advise him about what kind of headset I use, so maybe he can switch to that type device.
Yeah, okay.
And what were you to continue along? You was talking about, you know, using how you need stuff.
I was lucky enough to come along that product, and basically it eliminates allergies, because when you become really, really sick, your body is so sensitive to everything, and therefore it thinks that everything that you're ingesting is foreign-like, and so you become allergic. And so essentially I just become allergic to literally everything. And anyway, he had this natural product which I took, and it eliminated that. But also he was using that for cancer. And, you know, I think if I ever had cancer, I'd definitely be walking down that track. Yeah, because he had all the science behind it, and he had all the testimonials just to, you know, prove that it works. And yeah, so I was very grateful at the time. I think that fast-tracked my healing. And, you know, there's heaps of different things people can do. You know, even just lemon water in the morning to give yourself a gentle detox. And, you know, go for a swim in the ocean and get earthed and grounded. I think there's just so many different things. We've got to go back to basics, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. I know as I traveled around the planet, because of the sulfurs that are being sprayed in the atmosphere, in combination with our sweat and the sunlight, it was turning into an acid that was burning people's skin. So I often advise people to make a solution of bicarb and water that they can spray on their bodies afterwards, like, you know, like a cooling mist on their bodies to neutralize these acids we were getting from the ocean. So bicarb has a lot of uses. It's great in adjusting our acidity levels in our body as well. So, yeah, it's one of those wonder things.
That's actually quite interesting, because over here we've been getting sprayed heavily since 2016. When I first noticed it started, they lay it down on a 45-degree angle across, I'm on Suffolk County in Long Island. And it seems that by they lay it on a 45-degree angle, and by the afternoon the sun goes down and it's behind the clouds, and you're pretty much blotting the sun out for the rest of the day.
Yeah, on a heavy spray, you could taste it when you breathe. It's like a metallic taste in your mouth. You know that you've had heavy metals deployed on you. Of an undisclosed nature. There's so much covert things that go on, including the covert programs that sell these vaccines that seem to be sickening so many people, where you actually get the disease itself that you never had or had any symptoms of right after you get a jab.
Yeah, listen, it makes me so angry. Rob, when are we going to start putting the metal taste in their mouths? What's that one?
Yeah, I hear that. I'd like to see the metal taste go across the back of their neck and they get it in their mouths that way, like the guillotines that they bought for us, French Revolution style, when the 99% finally get to pull the chain, if you will, instead of pulling the cart like we've been doing.
Robert, I do have a question for you. When you were here in Australia, because I always talk about geoengineering, which is the weather modification, and I'm just wondering, did you ever come across, like, where exactly is this being funded from? Like, what department funds geoengineering?
The United Nations itself. It's one of the reasons I traveled is because of the Paris Accords, which has turned into a Paris Agreement, was voted on by all the member states. So I actually had to go out in the world and try to convince each country to say no to this, to stand up to this, the funding that's going into the United Nations based on the myth of global warming. And it is a myth. It is not based on science. I can show you pictures of the poles of the globe and how they don't melt every year and how sometimes it's increasing even now. The cooling effect is going on. Then they say back in the 1980s, they're going, oh, we were mini ice age. We was going to all be frozen by blah, blah. That didn't come to fruition. They said the globe was warming. If we don't pay to do all this, blah, blah, we're all going to die. And you had the Greta going around the world selling that program, which is really selling the administering of the funds. This is big money for Al Gore. It was over $15 trillion. So it's the United Nations that's doing it. I can't point at any one country. I can't say that there's a guy at the BLM that's beaming you from the radar station, because all that's remotely controlled through computers, deep wave computer and whatnot, because it takes such formulation to actually worry, because what you do one place can affect another, so they have to have a coordination around the entire world all the time, or they're going to have a chaos that they didn't want. Maybe their own fields would get destroyed instead of the planned droughts they have for somewhere else. To answer your question, it is the United Nations itself that's doing this. It's not just NATO, it's not America, it's not Russia or China. It is the UN.
Right, just like organization telling us everything that we need to do around the world. Everything is that's showing up that's global, it's really showing us evilness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's evil at a scale that it makes the movie villains look like the kind people, you know. It does. The extent of the guy at the weather machine and stuff. They've shown us these images so that we'll laugh about it when things happen. I'll stop there because we're going to commercial break.
Yeah, we'll go on commercial break. Right, we'll be right back, guys.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovine. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay. Yes, yes. We are back. This be the Red Pill Hardcore radio show. Yes, and we still have our guest currently, still, right?
Yeah, I'm still here, from all the way from Australia, sunny Queensland.
And, you know, I really want to give you as much time as humanly possible. Did you want to take more calls, or did you have any more explanation to do, or anything else that you want to promote?
I think for me, to the listeners, I do want to say something. IMOP is specifically against mandatory coerced mass drugging. And I think just sort of wanted to do a bit of a shout out, because I think Australia had the first party of that sort in the world. And, you know, we stood at the last federal election, and as we know, vaccination in particular is so volatile, like it's such a sensitive issue. And so, you know, I was really proud to be a part of that party, because it's just such a strong message. And, yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, so grateful that I've got the opportunity to actually run with such a party, and that we're hoping to get a lot of support at the upcoming Queensland state election. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's going to take all of us to fix this. I often just say, you know, if one voice is screaming in a crowd, we're easily drowned out. But when the whole crowd chants the same thing, we get heard, don't they? And we got to use our voices while we still can.
Look, around the world, everyone needs to unite and defend, you know, the right to choose in the future. And, you know, this is a global issue. Everything that is happening is global. Admittedly, you know, I think Australia is a bit of a testing ground. I think we're also a bit slow because some of the things that are implemented in America, you know, it's a bit of a slow follow-on here in Australia. So we're a bit slow here in Australia. We are down under and a bit backwards. The other thing, the issue that we've got here in Australia is population is only 25 or 26 million, 25 million, I think. And whereas in America, there's 350 million people. And we have such a vast, big country that for us to get numbers in one place as a voice, it's actually been really quite challenging. And, one grateful thing I do have, though, is from, you know, if it becomes a bit of a military state and if there is, you know, mass coercion and then the military do come in and try and control or whatever, because it's such a big country, it is going to be a little bit difficult, but we do have a saving grace in that instance. But I'm not sure if any of your viewers have heard about what's happening in Melbourne at the moment with COVID-19, and that there's 9 housing commission towers that have been effectively shut off, and that people are being totally restricted, being force tested, bullied, coerced, like the fear is just phenomenal. And I was just listening to an epidemiologist that represents the World Health Organization today, and she was basically saying, we need to build a centre to put these people in to stop the spread of COVID-19. And so what sort of centre are they talking about? You know, like, where are they going to force these people to go? You know, I think, yeah, around the world, we're on a slippery slope of what is exactly going to happen and when are people going to start speaking up, because that's getting really real, you know. And here in Melbourne, it is to what? I think, yeah.
You have that
what do you guys think about
over
that?
There in Brisbane, you have Christmas Island where they've been putting people that have been traveling in. Anybody flying into Australia right now is subject to 14-day quarantine, and then unless you allow them to test you for COVID, you will have a very extended stay beyond that. I'm hearing reports from people who are actually going through this right now in Australia. One was let out yesterday and reporting on it. You are basically taken away to where they say.
And again, This all goes down to who's paying for it? And then, okay, so we have taxpayers. Taxpayer money should not be used against taxpayers who don't like the policy. Listen, if somebody wants to create a facility to house me in, it better come out of their pockets. No, let Bill Gates buy, you know, facilities around the globe. Let's spend his entire wealth on it. See, he cares so much about it. And see if these people are genuine about their care for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the thing is, so there's a couple of things I want to speak about there, is here in Australia, yes, the taxpayers are going to pay for it. We're going to pay for the next few decades the current bill and debt that Australia has, which is over $1.4 trillion. And my question to that is, though, so who really owns Australia? And when countries go that far in debt, then somebody has the monopoly, like somebody controls you. Do you even have a say in that? And that's really, really, really concerning to me. So who effectively does own Australia if we owe that amount of money? And then, I should have written it down. Bill Gates. Now, let's get back onto Bill Gates. Now, he made in 2 months from March to like April, May, like $11.9 billion because of the COVID-19 debacle. It was in the Forbes magazine, and, you know, the richest men, richest people in the world made billions out of every country going broke around the world, middle class being wiped out, businesses being wiped out. I mean, this is absolutely disgusting. And these people are frolicking in their money. And then they can't even help all these third world poverty-driven countries with basic sanitation, clean water, and good food. And they send in drugs and drug them, and they're already malnourished, and then you're injecting them with a heap of rubbish that should never be injected in the first place. So there's a big discrepancy there, isn't there? Like, Bill Gates, on one hand, is trying to be a philanthropist and make out that he's trying to help people, but the reality is he's got enough money to help the whole world, and he's choosing not to. So he's actually manipulating people. He's conning them, and no, he's not a true philanthropist, because he should be, he could and should be doing much better.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, he has a vested interest in this. It's a conflict of interest. He's a salesman in his whole troop of salesmen, like a Fauci's over here, just touting it, asking for the money to be sent and to be funneled toward them from the people's purse, from the future, indebtedness to the International Monetary Funds, the Fed in the U.S., when you say who owns your debt or who owns Australia, you really have to look at who has loaned Australia the money. You know, if, let's say I had special interest groups that introduced I needed to have these camps set up in Brisbane and in various other places around Australia. Now, they're going to want to get paid from the people's purse to fill those up with people and the treatments that go with them and stuff. So it's a big Ponzi scheme, pyramid scheme, if you will. So we do need to look at that. A lot of these things were set up under, even under Turnbull, whose wife was at the time sitting on the board of directors of Prima Biomed, which made certain vaccines that were then mandated by the system. So it's a big scheme. You know, you're told you can't go out in public by your prime minister, you can't congregate, yet he wants to open up the cricket matches because he's a big fan of that, where you can sit around and drink his beer and live the life of Caesar. And he throws you all a little stimulus package once in a while as the loaves of bread, you know, to distract people, like, yay, look, $1,500 in Australia ain't going to take you very far. You know, your cost of living is very high in the grocery stores and rents and stuff. So people don't realize, they think their government's a hero for giving them a little bit of money. But the amount lost is uncountable. But the fact that even these elderly people aren't allowed to see their loved ones, you know, it's a crime of depression put on these people, which sells more drugs. And a lot of elderly are dying alone. They don't have any loved ones around, or maybe they have dementia, and the daily visits they were getting kept them remembering their children. So it's just, it nearly brings me to tears to think about the hardships that this COVID excuse for our oppressors to lock down the world has imposed on people. This new normal is, I don't accept it. I don't. It's a paradigm that needs to be refuted by the people, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the beauty of what the government have done, or the governments around the world have done, by taking these extreme unnecessary measures, is that a lot of people are seeing the government's in a true light, as in they are corrupt, they're controlling, it's a dictatorship, but, you know, there's no truth and transparency. And essentially we're mere pawns in their pathetic little game. And they want us on that wheel, they want us in poverty, they want us just healthy enough to be able to work, pay our tax dollars, and then at our end of our lives, when we start to die, they just rape all the money off you, you know, and with all your death taxes and all the other different taxes. And it's just a joke, and I just would really love people just to really question everything and go, hey, is this about really the health of our children, or is this about money? Or, you know, is that person telling the truth? What's his best interest? Like, who are these people and the reality of what's going on around us? And I think, you know, we can have such a beautiful life. You know, the world has amazing resources and such beauty, and there's enough for all of us. We just have to work together and be united and be smart. You know, there's no reason to have this power play and control and, you know, to have extreme wealth and extreme poor. And people need to wake up and realize that we can collectively have a beautiful world, and that at the end of the day, it's up to us to make the politicians accountable. It's up to us to put pressure on the UN, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and whoever else is out there dictating to our government that, no, we're not going to be a part of it. And, it's time for people to really step up, isn't it, and make the change. It's back in their hands now. And I hope people take the opportunity now, given the fact that we're seeing where the governments around the world are going to take us, so do something about it. You know, how far are we going to let it go before you go, hey, I'm actually going to do something? So it's a very, very slippery slope. So I hope all the listeners out there, you know, most of them probably are already aware and maybe already doing something, but, you know, collectively make sure we share information with as many people as we can, you know.
Activism.
At a supermarket and
Link the activism chain. Absolutely. Let's take one more caller before the end of the show. Let's, who do we have here? Michigan, Fred? Fred, is that you? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it's me. Hey, I wanted to clue your guest into Chris Hinckley's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, particularly last Friday, where Chris dove into a psych warfare mind control manual by the title Inducing Information, Interrogation, Science, and Art. I never knew of the National Defense Intelligence College, NDIC, until I heard that cast. And it predominantly features a technique called Alice in Wonderland, the power of applied confusion. And I witnessed that during Chris's broadcast on the 12th of May this year, during the U.S. Senate's health hearing, when Senator Mitt Romney, queried Fauci regarding the prospect of a forthcoming effective vaccine. The first declaration from Fauci's mouth was, based on the extraordinary high-performance immune function of the human body in combating, eradicating, clearing the pathogen. So right there, he corroborates and admits the astonishingly high-performance immune function of the human body in eradicating the pathogen, so it's not a threat. Then he says, conceptually, we think we could have a reasonably effective vaccine within 12 to 18 months. And so the power of applied confusion is right there. The Alice in Wonderland technique. The power of applied confusion from this manual on psych warfare and mind control, inducing information, interrogation, art, and science, or science and art, from the National Defense Intelligence College, and that was apparently printed up in December of 06. And that's all chronicled masterfully by Chris last Friday in the Road Warrior a broadcast on RBN. And then today and yesterday, he dove in more to this psych warfare, bio-warfare stuff. And your guest talks of Bill Gates. Bill Gates, one of its most infamous declarations of about 5 years ago, 14 March 2015, he has his own little blog spot called GatesNotes.com. And in that particular installment, he cites some guide to numbers games, and lying with statistics, the art of lying with statistics. So this is what it's all about. They're spinning, they're doing the Edward Bernays spin doctor routine here, manufacturing fraudulent data and then fudging it every which way imaginable. And because the sheeple at large are arrogantly ignorant and arrogantly compliant, they're just, you know, they're just biting. They're taking the bait and swallowing it all the way. And the vaccine, if one does show up, will undoubtedly be endowed with some super high-tech nanobot technology, like this transceiver that Charles Lieber got a patent when he was at Harvard or MIT, 2017, and that will allow 5G frequency transmissions into the cell, because that nanobot transceiver will infiltrate through the cell membrane of all the cells, including the brain cells, receive the 5G frequencies, and then transmit it throughout the cell. So the DNA of the nucleus is going to get hacked, and the DNA of the mitochondria is going to be hacked. And lastly, in Australia, your guest had a very noble, righteous patriot by the name of Brendan O'Connell. And Brendan O'Connell discovered that there was an invasion of God's chosen parasite, taking over the country. And they nearly beat the guy to death. But he's got a couple documentaries, How Israel Rules, Barbarians Inside the Gates, How Israel Rules, Barbarians Inside the Gates, and another one called Talpiot, Israel's Secret Weapon. Well, that's what they've unleashed. Talpiot is totally satanic. Everything coming out of that country, like the Bank of England and Great Britain, is satanic. And we're experiencing what's called the Jewish Utopia. Rabbi Michael Higger, the Jewish Utopia.
Fred, are you familiar with the Hillsong Baptist Church? Because the Prime Minister of Australia is a huge, avid member of that church, and has even allocated quite a bit of funding toward that church and made sure he could meet with his people while he locked the rest of the world down. And that's a Christian church. It's in Australia. I have to point that out.
Yeah, I agree. And over here, Robert, there's what's called Kufi, Christians United for Israel. I call it the Kufi Kufi Groupie. And that's John Hagee. John Hagee, the Jews don't need Jesus, he says. He wrote a book, Jews Don't Need Jesus, yada, yada. Then you got Kenneth Copeland, Pat Robertson, yada, yada, Charles Stanley. Yeah, they're all satanic. They're all in it for the mega billions of bucks. And it's sickening, man. It's sickening. Tex Mars, authored, a retired Air Force colonel, Holy Serpent of the Jews, Blood Covenant, Hell's Mirror, Voices from the Dead. Well, they're all banned by Jeff Bezos. You can't find them on Amazonia. Jeff Bezos, he is a beast. They're all beasts, man. The rabbis brag about it.
Definitely, their empathy is lacking. And yeah, the Bill Gates with that lying by statistics book was seen on his coffee table when he gave a talk, and there's a picture of him, and it's right there. So they do have manuals that they use to manipulate the public opinion, to manufacture consent, if you will, which is another rabbit hole. Google into, or whatever search engine, manufacturing consent. There's a video on that on YouTube I'm in the process of watching, and it's quite informative about how you get people to ask for their own oppression. There's no other words I can put to it. And we're manipulated in many ways and divided.
Thank you, Robert.
They want us.
Manufacturing, Manufacturing consent is Edward Bernays.
Well, just
Edward
remember,
Bernays also authored propaganda.
Listen, just remember, so, it's the Zionists, not the Jews, okay?
Thank you.
That's why, if you didn't catch that, that's why Rob was poking a Christian jab at you.
Yeah, y'all don't know it. You know, I was raised Jewish. I chose not to affiliate with any religion at all, no organized religion, because I believe the spirituality is very individual to people. So I do go at the control method known as organized religion quite openly. So, yeah, when you have a jab at Jews in general, I feel you having a jab at me. I look at my bank balances and my benefits in life, and I have not had the benefit of these oppressor families that have been ruling this planet and propping up different religions for thousands of years that have the same birthdays and attributes as the previous one, the virgin birth, the stars seen in these, you know, rising from the dead, have been attributed to so many religions that were propped up by the ruling class of this planet for thousands and thousands of years. But yeah, the money is still coming from a billionaire who's asking the government to give it to him because maybe he donated money to his politicians to make sure his view was not only seen but litigated in his favor, or that he lobbies for things, for dinners, and maybe with unsavory acts of sexual perversions upon politicians that are then filmed so that they can use as leverage or blackmail against people to get them to do what they want. A scene from that movie, The Firm, comes to mind where, Tom Cruise's character had an affair with a woman in the Cayman Islands. And then, when he was talking to the FBI, the security guy from the firm showed him pictures of him doing it. So to make sure that he kept his mouth shut, the leverage happens. And great movie about leverage is Battlefield Earth.
Great reference. Don't start Battlefield Earth. Hey. We've got after the show. I would like for our guest to plug her website or any organization contact information. That way, we can spread the word.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed the conversation. It's been good, and I've actually written down some things too. So, thank you very much for all your wisdom and your time. Look, the IMOP Party is the Informed Medical Options Party. The website is www.imoparty.com. My name is Ilona Lahn, and so you can actually look at my website too if you like, which is www.ilona.com.au. And basically, I'm on Facebook too. And so just spell my name, Ilona Lahn, so A-L-L-O-N-A, Lahn, L-A-H-N. And I think the more we connect globally, the better and safer and more beautiful world that we're going to create together. So I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. I agree with you, and I appreciate you for being on the show. That's all the time we have. Guys, this is Redfield Hardcore Real Show. I'm your host, V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the answer not is king. So please educate yourself.
Next time, Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.